Hello, and welcome back to Thornvale. This is actually the beginning of a new arc, which we were a bit confused last time, and I don't know if it's going to make it in the editing, but we said that was the beginning of a new arc. But it's not, because it makes more sense for it to be in the last arc. So now this is the beginning of a new arc, and yes. It's going to be fun, as usual. I don't know if it's going to be quite like the last one, but
fun is a strong word.
Fun is a strong word.
We need another Boozy's arc.
Yes, seriously. Squonk!
I was just about to say, if Hannah says squonk like a goose one more time.
I will always say squonk like a goose now.
Yeah,
I know you do. Yeah, so before we get started, I want to invite everyone to join us over on the Cast Junkie server.
I can only imagine that it's blowing up right about now because, well, everyone would have heard what happened last time at this point, so yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fun to look back when this episode finally comes back and, like, see what everyone was talking about. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, my.
That's a good kind of segue there. We love hearing people's responses. It's very fun. We like to see everyone's responses, and we love Discord because it's like, you can immediately respond to them. And you don't have to go through the rigmarole and the hellscape that is Twitter. You know, like, I'm on Twitter, too. So if you want to tweet at us, I'll respond to you. But, like, I don't like Twitter. I don't know anyone who does like Twitter. I don't know. If you like Twitter, tweet at us, I guess. But also, you can join us over on the Cast Junkie server, which is a much better place on the internet. So I'd recommend going there. And we also have a Patreon. If you would be so inclined and you would like to, first off, have more of us, because we have a ton of bonus content.
Including an entirely separate show that is going crazy.
We have an entirely separate wonderful show run by Andrew.
Yes.
That is loads of fun. If you enjoyed Overshadow, where Andrew was running the game, you're going to enjoy this too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although this one is more like a D&D style
thing. It's fantasy themed, yes. Yep. And I am very excited to run you guys through things that you're in right now that I don't want to give away, but they're in a cool place.
We're certainly in it.
If you like lore, there is lore galore going on right now.
Oh, I don't want to say a spoiler. Never mind.
No spoilers, Hannah.
I was going to say.
That's funny.
I'm going to include that and mute it out so that people can't hear what you said, and then just include our laughs. So they'll know you said something hilarious and they should go. You know,
go and
join
check
us over
out.
On
what
Patreon.
Did you, so what did she say? Need to know.
Oh, you know what I'll do? I'll mute it on for regular folks, but for patrons,
they'll
I'll unmute
it.
So they'll know what it's talking about.
But what if
and it's their
patrons,
fault if they haven't listened to Planes of Fate.
You need to leave that in then. You got to tell them, like, hey, it's your fault if you haven't listened.
No. it's their fault if they haven't listened to Planes of Fate. So. You should listen to Planes of Fate. If you are one of our patrons and you haven't yet, you should definitely listen to Planes of Fate. It's so good, guys. But you also get access to like our Thornvale plays where we play a game and we invite our patrons either to choose a game for us that they could watch us play or come join us this time.
And play with us, yeah.
Like we play a lot of games. We've played like Valheim in the past. We've played
Jackbox,
which is always fun.
Phasmophobia.
We played Among Us.
Yeah.
Oh, I just found out we can play code names online, so we should try that.
Oh,
that's
good. That'd be fun. I like code
names. Code names is cool.
Yeah, so come join us. It's really fun. We have a really good time, and it's fun to create like the little community around everybody, you know? So that's enough for now. I think it's time to get into this new arc. And I'm going to start off by asking Henry.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Did you tell them? It's been about a week. Did you tell your compatriots the whole story?
I don't think I have told them yet. I have some things to sort out, and I believe they will know in due course, I believe, but it is not that time yet.
Okay. Then I'm going to start with someone else. Let's go with Bjorn.
Okay.
So Bjorn, for the last week, what have you been up to?
All right, so we found out that there's an entity called... Well, we don't know anything about the Empty Man being tied to the Marlowes, right?
No, you do
we
not.
We only know that there's an entity called the Empty Man that caused this outbreak.
Correct.
Yes.
Have we been able to presume it's been other stuff going on or just the outbreak?
I don't think you know enough to know anything else would be going on.
So then, yeah. So Bjorn, in like the past week, he has been checking in on Salem probably daily because he doesn't actually live at the hotel base. He just, you know, stops by frequently. So I think because this is a new thing, he's probably been checking in because he has no idea how this adolescent is going to respond to his mother dying for good in such a fashion. And the fact that he's undead.
Yeah.
I think he was probably trying to facilitate Judson coming over and meeting him at some point within that week, because he agrees with the general sentiment that Judson is probably the most equipped to and help him figure his way through this.
Okay. So you guys think that you are recruiting Judson as a mentor?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think Judson would be amenable to that.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to hop in here, and I think this is the first time you're bringing Judson over.
Yeah.
It's been a day or two. You're kind of letting him chill.
Yeah.
And you guys got a little hotel room that's like next to the suite that you guys were already in. And I think you hear like video game noises as you walk up to the door.
Like, okay.
Loud video game noises.
I think as we're walking up to the door, Bjorn just looks over to Judson. He just says, hey, I appreciate you coming over to help with this.
Well, I think I could be helpful, so
yeah.
Who am I to say no?
Well, it's definitely appreciated. This, I mean, I'm not equipped to handle with something like this, I don't think.
Well, I don't think I was either. But it might help to have someone like me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go for it. Let's see how he's doing. And Bjorn goes up and knocks on the door.
Yeah. You knock on the door and you hear a voice you recognize that isn't Salem's yell. It's open.
Who's it? Whose voice is it?
It's Ben's.
Okay. Bjorn's gonna open the door and walk in.
You open up the door into a kind of living area inside the hotel room, and you see that Ben and Salem are sitting on the couch next to each other, and Ben has brought over his Xbox and has hooked it up to the TV, and they both appear to be playing Halo.
All right, cool.
And you kind of watch them playing for a little bit, and Salem announces, "Oh, I died again." And Ben is like, "Yeah, okay." And he's like, "I don't think this is a good idea." He's like, I'm actually dead." And Ben is like, "Yeah, all right, fine. Just get good, noob." And so the conversation's going on like this.
Does Salem actually talk like that?
I don't remember how Salem talked.
I'm pretty sure he talked kind of slow like Judson.
He was very slow and very...
He wasn't quite as slow.
He was sick.
Okay. He was sick. Okay. He sounded like that, I think.
I just wanted to make sure.
I'm just kind of giving you a general snapshot.
I thought that was a jab at using the word noob actually in real life.
This is kind of the scene that you come in on,
walk into. Yeah. And you know, once they're like finished with their round or whatever, Bjorn just says, Hey Ben Salem, how are you guys doing today?
And Salem doesn't acknowledge you because he's still playing, and Ben doesn't acknowledge you because he's still playing, and Salem looks up and says, "Hey, how's it going?"
I'm doing okay. I was checking in on you though. How you doing?
He kind of shrugs.
I don't know how to deal with undead children, Susanna. I don't think Bjorn does either though, so I think this works. he's like, after some uncomfortable silence, he's just like, So, I've brought an acquaintance of mine.
We've met.
Okay.
He was there.
He was there.
Oh.
Remember?
Yeah.
He was there.
We were having the whole thing.
Wouldn't I remember that?
I mean, you're awkward with kids, so it's okay.
That's true. Okay. Okay. And he says, yeah, that's right. I figured maybe you and Judson could talk more. Maybe he could help you with some stuff.
And Salem kind of looks up at Judson, and Judson kind of looks down at Salem. And Ben, like, finishes the game, and he's just like, "Booyah!" And then he kind of, as the game finishes, he like turns around and goes, hey, should I go? Should I just leave? Like, and Salem kind of nods and he's like, all right, I'll be back later. You can keep the game for a little while. And Salem nods and Ben gets up and walks out.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Masa isn't in here with Ben, is he?
No.
Okay. Masa's still confined?
Yes, Masa is still confined.
Okay.
I'm not sure Salem knows about Masa yet.
Yeah. So Ben leaves, and Bjorn just kind of looks at the two of them, and he's just like, should I leave too?
Yeah, probably.
All right, well, just let me know if you need anything. I'll keep checking in on you periodically, you know. But, yeah, just let me know if you need anything. And then he just awkwardly walks out because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. You hear Jensen's slow footsteps walk over as you leave. And you hear him say,
if we haven't been completely introduced, my name is Judson. I'm the medical examiner for the police department.
And you hear Salem go, oh, cool.
Oh, boy.
Beginning of a beautiful relationship, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, we'll check back in with them some other time.
Does Judson have a phone?
Yeah, Judson has a phone.
Because, I mean, Bjorn probably would have said, like, you know, let me know if you need anything or if you need to talk afterwards. Yeah, yeah, just let me know how it went kind
of
thing.
Yeah, so. Of course.
What's the line at the end of Casablanca that's like, I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship or something? Is that the right movie?
I have no idea.
I've never seen Casablanca.
I can't remember.
So. I have.
There are so many different good lines in that
I
one.
I was forced to in college.
I'm going to have to look it up later. Mm. But I think that's it.
You might be right. I'm not sure. But I think you might be right. So... The only, like, end of a movie line that I remember is, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn from Gone with the Wind, and I hate that movie. All right, so I think we're going to move on to...
It is. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, is the line.
Good.
Nice.
Good. Yes, let's hope this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship as well.
Hmm.
A beautiful dead friendship.
Undead, yeah. Actually.
Yes.
Undead.
Undead. That's different than dead.
All right.
Undead dad friendship.
Undead dad friendship. That's pretty good. This is like the beginning of a really weird sitcom.
It is.
Oh, boy. If somebody wants to draw us fan art for Undead Dad, go for it.
Maybe it would be called Undad.
Oh, jeez.
Whoa.
No.
High five.
It just keeps getting worse, guys. We have to get back to the story.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm never going to apologize for that.
Sammy.
Oh, no, no. Go to someone else.
No, I don't think I will.
I'm scared.
Sammy. This is a slightly awkward way of asking this, but has Sammy and Oliver's sleeping arrangement continued to be the same since the last episode?
Oh,
I need to know for
know.
Reasons.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess if he wanted it to,
he
she's
probably
scared
did.
Of sleeping. She's terrified of sleeping, so.
That makes
sense. That would make some sense.
All right, then yeah, he would definitely stay.
Okay.
Right.
So, Sammy.
Yes.
You are asleep. It hasn't been very long.
I don't like how you said that.
Since you've been asleep, but you are asleep. And you are dreaming.
Uh-oh.
Your dreams kind of flow from subject to subject. Sometimes they're kind of calmer. You can see yourself kind of sitting on the edge of the fort, the destroyed fort, talking to your friends, you know, sharing your secrets. And that feels nice. And then sometimes your dreams devolve back into the things that you've seen. It always somehow comes back to the Wendigo. That's the one thing that it always comes back to, the black blood taking over. It always comes back there. But tonight you're having a less uncomfortable dream, for now.
Mm-hmm.
You are having a beach day with Oliver.
Oh,
that's
nice. Sitting along the beach, relaxing, drinking some kind of fruity drink. And he's sitting on the beach wearing far more clothing than most people on the beach, because he's very pale. Poor relatable red-haired boy. And he's sitting there reading some kind of novel. And it's just, it feels very nice. But there's a part of you that feels wrong. Like, you shouldn't have this. And as you have this kind of thought, you hear a voice that says, "No, of course you shouldn't." The voice seems to be coming from beside you, on the other side.
I look over to see if there's actually someone there.
You look over, and you see wearing a long green sundress and a large, wide-brimmed hat sitting
of
in the shade.
Of course.
Is Jadis.
Great. Of course it
is. And she's looking up at you with glittering green eyes.
I don't even think Sammy's going to say anything at first. She's just going to stare at her. Because she's like, in her head, she's like, this is a dream, this is a dream. Like, so she just looks at her.
Yeah, you're just kind of trying to think, like, this is a dream, this isn't real. And you hear Jada say, "Is it a dream? Is this part, is this a dream?"
To lie and to sleep, but chance to dream.
Sammy's eyebrows go up a little bit higher, and she's like, "What do you mean? Of course it's a dream."
And Jada just kind of looks around, and she says, "This." She waves her hand at the beach, at the ocean. "This is a dream." And she stands up and starts walking around. And she gestures towards Oliver, who is ignoring all of this, reading his book. "This is a dream. This." And she points from herself and then to you and back again. "This is real."
Oh, I don't like that. I think Sammy just shakes her head and she's like, "No, this, you're just messing with me. It's whatever's left of you, you're not real, you're dead."
"I am every bit as real as I was before. When I took over your body, was that not real?"
Oh my. Getting right down to it here.
Like, Sammy's eyes just go wide, and she says, "Maybe it was, but I'm not letting that happen ever again. You're not taking control of me."
"Maybe not now, but you can't stay strong forever, Sammy." She walks over and she looks down at Oliver, and then she turns around and she sits down. And as she does so, Oliver's body disperses, and she sits down in the spot he was in before, and she catches his book out of the air, and she flips it over, and you can see it's a copy of Frankenstein.
Ooh.
She puts it down. She says, "You won't be this strong forever, and I don't know that you're this strong now, but someday you'll slip up, and when you're ready, I'll be there."
No! I think Sammy's just, like, internally screaming at herself to, like, wake up. Like, she's just, like, trying to make herself wake up.
Yeah. You're internally screaming at yourself that, and Jada stands up again and says, "Allow me to help." And she reaches out and grabs you by the throat. As soon as she does, you jolt awake in bed, just screaming. And Oliver jumps awake and falls off the edge of the bed. And then he pops up a couple seconds later. You see just his head on the edge of the bed and says, "Is everything okay?"
"No. No, no, no." And she's just like trying to like catch her breath.
Yeah, he like jumps back into the bed and like grabs onto you and like holds onto you, kind of kneeling there beside you. "It's gonna be okay."
Jadis, I don't know. She said she was talking to me like she was real. She said she wasn't dead, and she's gonna take over.
It was a dream, Sammy. It was just a dream.
Was it? I said to her that it was a dream, and she said that it wasn't.
In the dream?
In the dream. I said, "This is a dream. Like, people do in dreams." And she said, "No, that she is real, and I am real, and that she was actually talking to me."
I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but that does sound like a very bad dream.
Yeah.
But it was a dream, yeah. Okay? It was just a dream.
Okay. Maybe.
And as you say that, you kind of start to relax a little bit, and you feel Oliver kind of holding on to you, and you've kind of got your head, like, on his shoulder, and you hear just at the back of your mind, "Is it, Sammy?"
Oh, man.
And we're going to cut over to what? Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like that.
Henry. So I think I have an idea for what you might have been doing this past week.
Let me hear your explanation, and I will see how much it meshes with mine.
I think your dad might have taken you back to mainland Florida with him for a week.
Oh.
Just to get you away from everything. Just to give you a chance to recharge and relax. Just be away from Thornvale for a little while.
Okay, that doesn't really mess with my idea, so go on.
Yeah. So I think he's just been trying to help you get over kind of what you learned, to kind of come to grips with the kind of information you were just told. Learning your family is cursed, learning it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
So how do you think Henry has been feeling about this? Do you think he's been talking to his dad about this at all?
I think he would have asked a few clarifying questions, like, because since he didn't know anything about this cousin of his, I doubt that he would have been told that his uncle had a son at all, and now that he has figured this out, yes, he wants to get as much clarifying information as he can, I think, because on the one hand, yes, the more you know, coming to grips with this is the reality of this situation, but on the other hand, during this time away, after, if it's a week, let's say after about the first 2 or 3 days of relaxation, which he has taken in stride. He recognizes the value in something like that. But he's also asking these questions because I think during the latter end of this week, I don't know what his dad has planned, if he has this overarching idea, but around the end of the week, I don't think his dad would be seeing much of him because, yeah, he realizes he might have to dive back into it soon, so he spends a fair amount of time in his own room doing his own research, I think. And, you know, he'll come out periodically to, you know, to eat, or if his dad says, oh, you want to do such and such, you know, sometimes he says yes, but other times he'll just say, oh no, I just want to stay in, I don't want to go out anywhere. And what he's actually doing with that time is probably doing the biggest deep dive on a single subject he's ever done before.
Yeah, definitely.
And question, you had mentioned that were you serious that I could keep my NetFriends move from my previous book? Because I recall that you told me that. Can I do that or not?
I think she said keeping it as flavor.
Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of keeping it as, it's not like the actual NetFriends move anymore, okay. But it's like basically that.
Never mind.
You'll probably be able to use it as flavor for the research you're doing.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. All right. So
it'll just be like a different role. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know if this is all supposed to be flashback or if I can gain any info from this, but I would like to think a particular day he's, you know, he's doing his normal pastime of, you know, tearing apart trolls online, which he loves to do. And then afterwards, I think in his room, if you were to look around, you would see small indicators that he's been running himself down to the wire these last couple days, because, you know, he's starting to pick up the bags under his eyes. He's starting to, like, he's got a corkboard in his closet that, the closet's closed, but if you open the corkboard, he's got one of those conspiracy kind of boards going on, all the info he's found. Kind of
join the club.
Kind of like Sammy's got, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so what Sammy did last arc.
He's probably got a very telltale teenager BO stank going on.
Probably. Oof. He probably hasn't had a good shower in a while.
This particular day, I think he is once more couching his question in a hypothetical, like he always does. And he gets on there and he's asking, you know, his community. Basically, he's saying, you know, hey guys, I'm thinking of maybe, you know, if I write a short story or something, I'm gonna need some kind of a character. I've always been really kind of fascinated with, you know, necromantic sort of stuff, you know, zombies, things like that. But I wanted to make it, you know, a little bit more realistic. You know, what's the origins of this stuff? I need more info, especially any entities that could be, you know, chief among that, you know, like zombies. What do you got for me? And he sends this out.
Go ahead and roll Investigate a Mystery.
All right, I shall.
Ouch.
Wow. That is,
He rolled a five. Yeah.
Yes, oof. That is a five. That's not good.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense, though, because I think you get a lot of generic information. You get a couple of different news stories that someone says, oh, this could have been zombies, you know. And you get some, like, old novels and stuff from back in ye olde days. But you don't get anything very specific.
Nothing specific at all.
You don't get anything that seems to make any sense with what you've heard.
Okay.
So, I think you're mostly coming up empty.
Yeah, I think...
And as you're kind of sitting there doing this, I think you hear a knock on the door after another day of, once again, nothing.
Yeah, I think he closes the laptop lid. He's sitting there. He just taking in this deep breath. Rubbing at his forehead, and then he hears this knock. Come, it's open.
The door opens behind you, and your dad walks in, and he says, hey, Henry, I got something I want to show you.
Yeah? What's up? What's up?
And he kind of jerks his head, and he says, come follow me.
Uh-huh, and he puts the computer down, and he follows, kind of. He of course, he doesn't know what he's talking about, so he's just following.
Your dad leads you through the little apartment that he has towards his room, and he opens up the door, and he goes into a closet, and he rummages kind of in the back of the closet for a little while, and then he pulls out a long, kind of 4-inch wide by maybe 3 feet tall box.
Is this that moment? Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I think he's instantly, you know, he's been exhausting himself over these last couple days, but I think his interest is piqued because he's like, strange container. I don't know what it is. What's in it? You know, he's just so, you know, he steps up a little bit and I think he stretches out a hand and he just places it on the top of the box for a minute. He's like, what's this?
And your dad holds it out to you.
He takes the box and where
you take the box and you, it kind of sinks your hands down a little bit. It is a fairly heavy box.
Is there, where is he standing now? Is it in his room, right, you said?
You're in the room, yeah.
Okay. So I think he wants to open it, so I think he turns to the bedspread and sets it down. And then is there a lock on this, or is it just a clasp or something?
Nope, nothing of the type, just a box.
Okay. Then he'll find the edges and he'll slowly open the lid. And what does he see? Susanna, inside this box.
You open up the box and you see in a velvet-lined box, you see this velvet lining on the inside of the box, and lying on top of it is a long, slightly curved sword. I think Henry would recognize it immediately as a falchion.
Yes, he would know exactly what a falchion looks like.
It has this strange sort of bluish-gray hue to it. Almost like a, like the iridescence of like an oil spill, almost.
Ooh, okay. I think he knows what it is, but he is still wondering why exactly his dad has had this thing stashed in his closet for however long. So, yeah, I think his eyes just get really big, and he turns to him and he says, where did this come from?
This was your grandfather's. And when I started doing, the family business, for lack of a better word, he passed it down to me. Stanley got his gun, so, I got the sword.
And you can tell that he very much wants to actually take it up, but he's kind of nervous. He's like, so
go on, pick it up.
I think he takes his left hand, he lifts it by the hilt. He's turning it this way, that way, the light's catching on it. And I think he turns to look at him. He's holding it there and he says, why now?
Well, before I sent you to Thornvale, you didn't have any particular interest in this kind of stuff.
Fair enough.
I didn't want to try to force you, so I held on to it. But now I think you're ready, and I'm clearly retired, so it's not like I'm going to make much use of it.
I think he doesn't really... He's not really sure how to respond, because it's not like... It's not like you're getting your car for your birthday. No, you're getting a weapon to slay monsters with. I think he's still holding it, and he steps up to him, and he's, you know, it's down towards the floor, so he's not gonna lop anything off with it. And he says, given my own track record, I'm certainly get use out of this. It's not my usual take, but gotta start somewhere, and he's kind of hefting it in the one hand, and he's like, certainly gonna leave a mark.
It has left many marks. And as you're kind of looking at it, kind of seeing the light glint off, you notice right at the bottom there is a small nick taken out, almost near the handle.
Yeah, I think he lifts it up closer to see it, and he sees the mark, and he looks at him and he says, "What about this here? What happened?"
Teenage hubris happened. I thought I could take the horns off of a minotaur. Apparently, minotaur horns are very hard.
Okay, can you just back up to the beginning of that story and start from the beginning, please? I need to know the whole thing. Come on. And he sets it down, and he's like, he's plonked himself down on the bed there, and he's not moving until he hears the entirety of this story.
Just a second. And you see he goes in and he slips a finger underneath the velvet and pulls it up, and you can see there is another kind of compartment underneath of this box, and he pulls out a scabbard with a couple of straps on top of it, and he holds it out to you.
I think he looks at it, and he's like, kind of jokingly, he's like, you know, it's not my birthday, right? I mean...
No, but thought you would enjoy this. This is a very specialized back scabbard. You can put it on, and he kind of takes it back out of your hands and starts putting it on himself. And he says, it's made in such a way so that the wings can come out when they're ready. And it's pulled from the bottom and not the top, because it's impossible to pull a sword from the top.
This is for the... And he gestures to the box. If any reaches out to take it, that's this.
And I think your dad kind of pulls it off of himself and kind of straps it onto you. And he kind of touches the back of it and he says, it's very soft. I usually wore it under my shirt. It's pretty flat. You won't really notice. Most people won't notice things unless they're really looking.
Yeah. And I think he's doing the shoulder move, the neck roll. He's getting used to it. He's like, yeah, you're right. I can hardly feel it's there. That's pretty awesome, actually.
I always liked it. And he shows you how to like take the little snaps on the bottom of it and open them up and allow you to insert the sword. He says it takes a little getting used to putting the sword back in, but it's real fast to take it out.
I think initially when he picks it up, he knows. He knows what it is, so he knows it's not traditionally a two-handed, but just for the effect, you know, he's imagining like some kind of King Arthur scenario where he's holding two hands. He lifts it, he's like, yeah, you're right, this isn't meant to be two hands, is it? But he takes it in one.
No, it's not a lightsaber, Henry.
and I think
good reference, Dad.
I think he looks at him and he's actually smiling, and he's like, well, you can't deny if it was, that would be pretty darn awesome.
That would be cooler, not gonna lie. But a 400-year-old falchion is also pretty cool.
And I think his eyes go a little big. He's like, 400? And he's inspecting it and he's looking at it. And I'm guessing this weapon being possibly magically forged in some variety is not like bearing no marks of age or anything. Like you could cut something off with this right now if it was here.
Oh, yeah. It's, you don't know if it's magically forged or anything, but you do notice for sure that it is in very good condition. Hmm.
I think he looks at his dad and he says, anything else? Like, I don't know, flamethrowers, shurikens, anything hiding in that closet?
I have a blowgun if you'd want one.
And I think he pauses here a minute because he's thinking about it. Because on the one hand, part of his brain is like, well, I mean, a blowgun's like underrated. It's plain, it's boring, nothing, you know, there's nothing impressive about that. And then he takes a second and he thinks about it. And I think the principal reason, one of the most principal things he's thinking of is, well, I already have the gun and that was a very loud weapon. And of course, he is recalling the infamous moment when he was attempting to save Sammy's life and everything went horribly wrong because he only had the gun that was very loud, which he then missed and ended up shooting her with it. And then I think...
You're still not over that.
Well, no, I don't... It's going to take him...
It's been 100 episodes. Still not over.
I mean, it's... That's about what that's going to stay with him, I think. But then, on the other hand, he's thinking it over, and he's realizing of all the... Of all the times when he was unable to attack in near silence, and when that would have been a very good idea, I think. And he had no way to do that. So, I think he steps up a little, and he just says... Well, can I see it? I mean, I'd have to get a look at it first.
And your dad kind of shrugs and pulls out the blowgun and holds it out to you.
And yeah, I think he's just, you know, I'm guessing it's, you know, plain old carved, you know, not even painted or anything. But he's looking at this, and then he turns to him and he says, "Well, I mean, this could be useful, but I mean, you got any ammunition for this? Like darts or something? Isn't that what you're supposed to use in things like this?"
And he like goes and like. Pulls off a shoebox from like up on top of his closet, and he pulls it out and he opens it up, and you see these like little dart looking things with feathers on the end of them. And he says,
"I don't know how long these things are supposed to last, so it's possible they might be expired. I don't know if poison expires, but you can have them if you would like to."
And I think he takes the box and he's looking at it, and "Well, I won't deny that I'm normally in hand-to-hand, but I think you've covered that." And he kind of gestures to the one-handed sword on his back. And he says, "Yeah, I think chance for silent takedowns would actually work out pretty well. Of course, I'd have to train on this, you know." And he's gone into his catalog mode. He's like, "I have to train on this, and this." You know, he's kind of mumbling under his breath now. He's trying to figure this out.
Yeah, as you do so, he picks up the sword again and kind of holds it up, looking at the bottom of the pommel. And he points out there's a little symbol on the bottom of the pommel. It looks like a circle, kind of a black circle. It's like painted black or filled in with something, some kind of resin or something black. And then around it, there's like a gold inlaid like corona, like a sun corona, not the virus variety. And he says, "I'm not entirely sure where this came from, but the little symbol on the bottom, we've always called it Eclipse. So you're welcome to change it if you'd like to, but this is Eclipse." And he hands you back the sword.
I think he's holding it and he says, "Well, might be cliche, but I think weapons deserve names that are in keeping with their owners. Not that I have one in mind yet. We'll see what happens." And puts it back in the sheath along with the blowgun. And yes, those that don't know, and to listeners, he has now acquired his new full gear set according to the expert playbook.
Yes.
I figured that's what that
was. I know. Yeah. I know. I just...
What's the material since it didn't get covered?
I gave him a blowgun or the cold iron sword.
I'm saying
it was
sword,
classified
yeah.
as silver or cold iron. I wasn't sure which one Susanna wanted to go with, so...
Cold iron.
Okay. And okay. Blowgun was itself not a item
It wasn't
mentioned.
Technically one of the choices, but he's like, "Can I have this instead of a..." I don't think a blow...
A flamethrower works
a fire,
for Henry
one
much.
Of those
flamethrower?
A flamethrower is really Henry. So I was like, "Yeah, you can have a blowgun. I don't care, man."
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I thought that works, because he's all about the silent strike, I think. So if he had a way to do that... That would be...
Yeah, for sure.
That would work, especially because then it would avoid, you know, he's got the loud variable for range and the very quiet variable for range.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Yep.
So yeah, I think the rest of this week that your dad has allowed you to take off, they basically told the school, "We're on vacation."
Okay.
Actually, as the week has been progressing by, River has been texting you with notes that she has been taking in the classes that you share.
Okay. All right.
So she's been like giving you the notes and sending you like pictures of like homework or whatever that you're going to have to do when you get home.
Okay. So yeah, I think he's, you know, in response, he's just been saying, yeah, thanks. We're, kind of on vacation. Well, it's actually more like decompression after everything, you know, just message in message form.
Yeah, yeah. I think she knows that it's not really a vacation.
Yeah.
She kind of saw you after
River
it was over.
Smart.
And
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She realizes something went down. I don't think you've told River yet either, though. So.
Nope, I have not. Nope. But, yep, that's what he's been up to.
And I think that's where we'll leave Henry for the time being. And I think there was one thing that Bjorn wanted to do this week. Bjorn, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I think that besides checking in on Salem and situating that, I think that he also is kind of trying to come down out of this most recent monster attack, you know, going through the process of any kind of damage control he's got to do, you know, with the state that Thornvale's in now, with people just knowing. I don't think he's quite as worried about the widespread nature of this zombie outbreak on East. You know, like, he knows that there's just some people they're not going to get, but, you know, he's hoping that enough of it was not seen directly and just like the aftermath that they might be able to find some way to explain it. But besides that, he remembers that River at one point said that she thought that he was part of something called the Blackout Society. And in the moment, he didn't really have the time to deal with that. Like, yeah, he just needed to sock that away for later, that he had to ask her what that was. So Bjorn's going to ask River what the Blackout Society is and why.
So how do you talk to her?
Well, I think his only mechanism would be via Henry, and Henry's on vacation right now. So he would text Henry and just say, so I need to ask River something. Can you give me her number?
I think in response, he messages, hold on a minute. And then he sends a message to River saying, yeah, you know, the secret agent guy, I don't know what it's about, but apparently wants to talk to you about something. Can I send him your contact stuff? Because he's not just going to send that when it's not his stuff to send.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's good. That's good of Henry.
Very polite.
He actually texted secret agent guy?
Yes, he did. He said secret agent guy.
Okay.
And River knows who he's talking about.
Yeah.
And she texts back and says, he's not going to disappear me, is he?
And I think he responds with, no, we've went through all that already. He's not going to disappear you. And, well, if he tried, I might have something to say about that.
And you get back, you went through this already?
Suffice to say, it was discussed.
Oof. Explain!
And remind me, did they ever actually have a, like a do we or don't we conversation? I seem to remember there was something that was talked about, but I can't.
Wait, are you talking about for River specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys just kind of never had time.
We never really had time.
You decided that she was useful because she knew something about the Blackout Society, but otherwise you haven't really talked to her.
I don't think we had an in-character conversation about it, but we basically said that it seemed clear that Henry didn't want a mind wiper, so Bjorn just kind of rolled with it. I don't think it was ever very official. So.
Yeah, I don't think we actually had a conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, so if there was a conversation, it happened off screen, and it probably would have been pretty easy.
You guys did have a conversation earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you just it just wasn't very official.
I mean, do you want me to?
Yeah.
You want me to retcon that, or
no? Just keep going.
All right. Then he says, "Well, there were certain of us, not me, that thought it might be a possibility to, well, remove said events, but it was decided against since
from my mind?"
He wants to be sarcastic, but he won't. He really wants to say something terribly sarcastic, but he won't, because he realizes this is, you know, this is, for him, this is like part...
Hold on a second. Does River know about Dragon Knights yet? I don't think so, right?
She knows something weird's going on.
She knows something weird's going on, but she doesn't
she
know about...
I think she saw us doing magic.
She did.
She saw us doing magic.
She
okay.
Did.
She knows we can do magic. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. She saw Henry heal himself.
And healing myself.
Okay, that's going to be a whole thing.
And all that.
Andrew's having a small existential crisis over
no,
here.
I'm fine. I'm okay.
I like also how Henry is just blaming it on Bjorn. He's like,
yeah,
oh, there
like,
was a certain person
Bjorn didn't
that
really
to
try
it,
that hard
me.
To mind wipe or anything. He just asked the question.
Well, that's the thing. When I say it was discussed.
So what do you say?
When I say it was discussed.
From my mind.
I mean, it's in his character to say this, but I don't want her to slap him, so I don't think I will.
Well, you're not there. You're texting her.
I know.
So.
Yeah, you're texting.
I know.
Maybe calling, but...
And he says, you remember that weirdness when I was nearly dead and then I wasn't?
Yep.
It was less than a week ago.
I know, I didn't have to put the you remember part in there. But basically, he says, yeah, well, that's not the only thing we could do.
You can men in black me?
I think he responds very quickly with a, no, I was, I was very against it. It was mentioned like
you can Men in Black me.
Yes.
And then
yes, we can.
And then he responds with a yes, but we're not going to.
And she writes back, so if I meet with this guy, he's not going to Men in Black me.
I think he responds with, you have my word, he will not Men in Black you, as you say.
All right, fine. You can give him my phone number.
Glad we got that sorted out. Good. And he responds back to Bjorn with, here it is, but you might want to explain some things. She's still wrapping her head around this.
And Bjorn just texts back, I'll be careful about it.
More careful than Henry.
Yeah.
All right.
So once Bjorn has the number, he gets ready to start texting her about like meeting up to like talk about this, because he doesn't feel right just texting or calling about it. And he's starting to text and he's realizing like it's kind of weird. Like this is a teenage girl and I'd be asking to meet her somewhere. That's not
that is odd.
That's odd. So he's like thinking about it and he's like, what he decides to text her is, hi, River. This is Bjorn. I had some questions for you and was wondering if you could meet the rest of us at our hotel room. And his intent is once she's agreed, he's going to try and ask like Sammy and Oliver and Stanley and Miguel to be there. So it's like he's basically presenting this
That's
as a group
idea.
Thing. So
that's a much better idea.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. River will agree to that.
Yeah. And then Bjorn's then going to text everybody else and say, hey, so I'm going to have River come over and tell us about whatever this blackout society is, because she's got me curious what time works for everybody, basically. And that's like his question to the group chat.
Yeah, I'm sure they just pick a
We coordinate, and then he texts her and says, yep. Hey, here's the time.
So before Henry comes back, you guys have this meeting with River. And a River arrives and walks in and sees all of you there. Hey, how's it going?
Good, I guess. And like Bjorn like walks over to the door and shuts it, and he indicates over to one of like the armchairs or something. He says, do you have a seat?
Okay. Why do I feel like I'm in the principal's office? And then she sits down.
I think Bjorn's just kind of looking over at everyone else, and you know, he's taking point, and he's just like, well, I mean, you're not in trouble or anything. It's just you said something when we were dealing with the zombies. You thought that we were the Blackout Society, and we want to know what that is.
Oh, well, I mean, I kind of don't know, like, completely. It's just something that I've heard, you know? People started talking about it after, and she kind of, like, stops. It was a while ago, a month or two ago. I don't know. It started popping up.
Where? Like, where are you hearing about this? What do you know? I mean, just
whispers, you know, like from people around town. It's no one's being very obvious about it.
I mean, what do you know about this society? Like, what do they do?
I don't know. There's some kind of like secret society that thinks that there's weird stuff going on in Thornvale. And wow, boy, I guess they're right.
I think as she's saying this, like, he assumes that Sammy would have spoken up, but I think he goes over and, like, whispers to her so only she can hear. He's like, this isn't your thing, is it?
You already asked her that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We already did, didn't we? Did we ask that in the moment? Like,
yeah,
when,
in the moment.
Okay,
yeah,
never
says,
mind then.
He
wouldn't,
people,
he wouldn't say that again, yeah.
But I think if Bjorn is, like, close to her... actually, I have a question for Susanna.
Okay.
Was a month and a half ago the Hydra...
Yeah, you would assume the time she's talking about is whatever the Hydra was. And she's not remembering it. But she's remembering that something happened.
That's what
she
I
just
thought.
Doesn't know
yeah.
what
okay.
happened.
So she got her mind wiped too, probably because
she
doesn't
did,
know
yeah.
the chief of police.
Yeah, so I think Sammy kind of like clears her throat, like makes eye contact with Bjorn and is like, yeah, you remember a month and a half ago.
And he's just
she puts
like,
emphasis on it.
Yeah, and he's thinking, and she sees like realization cross his face, and he's just like, "Oh, yeah." He looks back at River, and he just says, "Well, I mean, month and a half ago makes sense."
I don't know if it was exactly a month and a half ago. It could have been a little longer or a little less, but I don't know. That just feels like when I started hearing people talk about it, you know.
Okay, but still, like, what, like, what?
Wait,
kind
why does it
of...
make sense?
Well,
oh my.
Just first answer my question. What have you heard at in reference to? Like, what are people talking about it? Like, what are people talking about when they bring
it up? There's been, like, meetings or something going on. One of my friends was, like, talking about how her big brother was going out to this, like, special meeting for the Blackout Society, and they were going to talk about some guy that saw something weird at the police station.
He's looking at the room. What's everyone looking like?
Yeah, Sammy, like, clears her throat again, like, guy at the police station? And her eyes get a little wide.
I think Stanley and Miguel kind of give each other, like, a, ooh, look.
I think she says again, guy at the police station with a phone.
Did he have a phone? I don't know. I didn't hear that part. I just heard that there was some guy at a police station and he wanted to talk to people in the Blackout Society about it.
Yeah, she's not even looking at Rivers. She's just looking at Bjorn.
I think he died. I don't know. I missed that part.
It is true, because he was the guy that got murdered at the beginning of the Duel Hunt.
Yes, so. He was. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I just got a terrible idea.
Again, my favorite words.
Bjorn is going to look at her and just say, did you hear anything about when or where they meet?
No. No, they don't, like, advertise, you know? Like, there's no flyers because they're all, like, secret and stuff.
But you heard about it from people, right? You have friends that apparently said they had a brother or something going, right?
Oh, yeah. My friend Cecilia, she said her big brother, Pedro, was going out there and he was going to go to the meeting or something. I don't know.
Suspicious.
And there's nothing else you can tell us about this? Just you heard the name Blackout Society?
Yeah, that's why I asked you guys. If I knew more about it, I wouldn't have had to ask you guys all the questions.
I guess that's fair.
So why does it make sense?
First, to make it clear, timing? We're not the Blackout Society. I just want to make sure
that's clear.
No,
I figured that out, because you know you're asking me lots of questions about it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It'd be real weird.
Sammy just, like, pulls at her collar. Like, she's, like, nervous now.
As you pull at your collar, I think you see that River kind of squints at the burned out tattoo on your neck.
Sammy, like, covers it with her hand really quick when she notices.
Oh, it's not the Blackout Society. It's another.
Like, she's rubbing her neck.
It's another secret. It's another secret society, not related.
Oh, it's just another tattoo.
Yeah, but it's scar tissue, which is weird.
Yeah,
it's a tattoo you didn't like.
Yeah, I guess.
Behind, so, Bjorn's willing to just let the conversation go.
Why does it? Why River's not gonna let this conversation go.
Yeah.
Why does it make sense? I told you all the stuff I know. Now you get to tell me stuff.
I think Sammy looks at Bjorn with a Dewey Teller look.
And Bjorn kind of picks up on that. And he's thinking along the same lines. He's just like, do you remember anything from a month and a half ago?
No. Everyone got kind of weird for a little while. I don't know why. Did you Men in Black me?
Oh, my.
What do you? What?
Henry said you can you know with the light thing, you know, Men in Black.
Well, it's not like that.
Sammy like does a full on face.
Did you Men in Black me?
I didn't Men in Black you, no. But
did someone Men in Black me?
Well,
I think Sammy just cuts in and says, "Yeah, probably. Yeah."
We have associates that helped us. You know the zombies that we all just saw
a week ago?
Oh, that kind of makes more sense.
Yeah, you probably were just another person that got swept up in damage control.
So what happened then?
And he looks at the room and he just kind of shrugs and he's like, well, there's a big Hydra that attacked the town, so it was pretty visible, like the whole town saw it, so. We kind of called in the cavalry to help us clean up after that one.
Well, you know, the name kind of makes more sense now.
What?
The Blackout Society.
And he's thinking. And he's like, you're saying you think that it's related to people forgetting stuff?
Well, yeah. Because, like, you know, you think you'd remember something really weird happening. But no, it's just just nothing there. Maybe some people remember better. I don't know.
Maybe some people remember better. He's kind of looking around the room, and he's just like, well, I mean...
Oh, no.
He's just like, yeah, that's an interesting theory.
Anyway, I got homework, so... Unless you guys know something about trigonometry, I kind of gotta go.
Sammy shakes her head.
Bjorn's just
I think just for flavor,
I was he wasn't really a bookworm.
He wasn't part of this, but after the initial conversation where he backed himself into a corner and had to answer the question straight up about mind manipulation, I think he's sitting there and he's like, he's face palming himself. He's like, I was such an
So do you guys let River go? Do her trigonometry homework?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't see why
I have
not.
Nothing to offer help-wise, but...
All right, then River is going to leave and do her trigonometry homework.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Do you guys talk to each other at all after she leaves?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So Bjorn's just looking around at everyone after she leaves. Maybe it's quiet for a little bit. And he's looking around and he just says, Miguel, you're kind of our resident magic expert. I mean, I think she's right. Do you think this is a... mind wipe gone wrong? Maybe cause this whole thing?
I don't know.
I mean, that word society concerns me. That sounds like a lot of people. That doesn't sound like just a couple people getting together talking about...
I don't know. It could just be pretentious, but...
It could, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, magic is kind of a funny thing, you know? There's a possibility if you don't do it, like, completely correct, but...
And Bjorn's just rubbing the back of his head because he knows magic
is
strong suit.
There's also the problem that we mind wiped... a lot of people, and we couldn't get to everyone, so yeah, there's gonna be some people who would remember and then would know that this other person doesn't remember. Like, we got to as many people as we could, but there's gonna be a lot of, like misinformation, for lack of a better word. Or correct information, rather.
Well, and what concerns me is the guy at the police station that she was talking about. He took video and pictures of us on his phone. And we don't know what happened to that. Henry tried to delete it, but we don't know if he got everything off of there. And now he's going to this blackout society? And maybe showing him that?
Yeah.
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 That's not good.
I mean, does everybody agree that we have to do something about this, right? Like, we can't just let it continue like it is? And then he, like, realizes what he just said and he says... I'm not advocating that we go after these people, per se. I'm just saying we need to do something, right?
We need to find out more about them.
Yeah.
Maybe,
at the very least.
She slowly looks over at Oliver and is like, maybe you could get in on a meeting. You have connections with, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you get the slow smile across his face and he says, you know, I would love absolutely nothing more than to try to get in on a meeting with these people.
He's the perfect inside man.
I will,
yes, he is.
Do my best. But yeah, I think I could do that. I think Miguel is kind of staring at him a little skeptically.
Then I think she just looks back over at Bjorn and says, he'll keep us updated.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can help out a little bit too. I mean,
I'm sure we can do some digging of our own, but I mean,
well, I'm saying we maybe can help him, like,
then
I don't know, wire
exactly
him up or
go.
Something like.
Well, they haven't seen me.
Precisely.
And yeah. I don't know if you remember, but I am somewhat well known in this community.
Oh my.
Yes, he and is.
Oh yeah.
You see a little smile playing across Bjorn's face and he's just like, you know, I never, don't take this the wrong way, Oliver, but you know that I didn't like you at first and I never thought that your knowledge of this sphere was going to be a positive for me, but...
That is almost approaching a compliment, so...
What I was trying to say was, I think that you would be the perfect person to do this, and...
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Do they appraise Henry of any of this plan they're making when he's not present?
I would assume.
Okay.
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume Henry would want to know how this meeting went. So.
Yeah, because he knew
it was
going to
happen. Yeah, I think you guys eventually learn how this meeting goes.
Send him, bullet points that are like, River doesn't know anything. She doesn't remember Hydra. Oliver, inside man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that goes down, and you guys kind of start looking around a little bit.
Yeah.
And a week goes by, and Henry is on his way back. And you arrive with your dad by ferry, and it's pretty nice day. Nothing seems to be going wrong at the moment. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's not very windy. The water on the way over was wonderful. Nice and smooth, almost glass-like. The rest of you are wherever you are spending your time. Maybe looking around for something on the internet, trying to find out more about the Blackout Society. Oliver is off doing something. And all at the same time, all of you feel the ground begin to shake. Violently.
Oh.
No!
Tremors, anybody?
And we'll find out what happens next time.
This does not sound like a cute, fun little adventure.
This does not sound like Squonk.
Or Boozies.
Oh my gosh.